Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
And now Chapter 21, Confidential Knowledge, from Canto 6, Chapter 3, Texts 17 through 29 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yamaraj continued, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient and fully independent. He is the master of everyone and everything, including the illusory energy. He has his form, qualities, and features, and similarly his order carriers, the Vishnu Dutas or Vaishnavas, who are very beautiful, possess bodily features and transcendental qualities almost like his. They always wander within this world with full independence. The Vishnu Dutas are worshipped even by the demigods and are very rarely seen. They protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from envious persons, and even from my jurisdiction, as well as from natural disturbances. The real religious principle is enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets cannot ascertain this principle, nor can the demigods or the leaders of Siddhaloka, to say nothing of the demons, ordinary human beings, Vidyadharas or Charanas. Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narad, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Svayambhuva Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukdeva Goswami, and I myself know the real religious principle. My dear servants, this transcendental religious principle, which is known as Bhagavad Dharma, or surrender unto the Supreme Lord and love for Him, is uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. It is very confidential and difficult for ordinary human beings to understand, but if by chance one fortunately understands it, he is immediately liberated and thus he returns home back to Godhead." Devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. My dear servants, who are as good as my sons, just see how glorious is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The greatly sinful Ajamil chanted only to call his son, not knowing that he was chanting the Lord's holy name. Nevertheless, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, he remembered Narayan, and thus he was immediately saved from the ropes of death. Therefore, it should be understood that one is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of the Lord and chanting his qualities and activities. This is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. Even if a person chants the holy name of the Lord with improper pronunciation, he will achieve relief from material bondage if he chants without offenses. Ajamil, for example, was extremely sinful, but while dying, he merely chanted the holy name, and although calling his son, he achieved complete liberation because he remembered the name of Narayan. Because they are bewildered by the Supreme Lord's illusory energy, Yajnavalkya, Jaimini, and other compilers of the religious scriptures cannot know the confidential religious system of the 12 Mahajanas. They cannot understand the transcendental value of performing devotional service or chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Because their minds are attracted to the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, especially the Yajurveda, Samveda, and Rigveda, their intelligence has become dull. Thus, they are busy collecting the ingredients for ritualistic ceremonies that yield only temporary benefits, such as elevation to Svargaloka for material happiness. They are not attracted to the Sankirtan movement. Instead, they are interested in religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Considering all these points, therefore, intelligent men decide to solve all problems by adopting the devotional service of chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart, and who is a mine of all auspicious qualities. Such persons are not within my jurisdiction for punishment. Generally, they never commit sinful activities, but even if by mistake, or because of bewilderment or illusion, they sometimes commit sinful acts, they are protected from sinful reactions because they always chant the Hare Krishna mantra. My dear servants, please do not approach such devotees, for they have fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are equal to everyone, and their narrations are sung by the demigods and the inhabitants of Siddhaloka. Please do not even go near them. They are always protected by the club of the Supreme Lord, and therefore Lord Brahma and I, and even the time factor, are not competent to chastise them. Paramahansas are exalted persons who have no taste for material enjoyment, and who drink the honey of the Lord's lotus feet. My dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are averse to the taste of that honey, who do not associate with Paramahansas, and who are attached to family life and worldly enjoyment, which form the path to hell. My dear servants, please bring to me only those sinful persons who do not use their tongues to chant the holy name and qualities of Krishna, whose hearts do not remember the lotus feet of Krishna even once, and whose heads do not bow down even once before Lord Krishna. Send me those who do not perform their duties toward Vishnu, which are the only duties in human life. Please bring me all such fools and rascals. Purport. Yamaraj was describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, but the order carriers of Yamaraj were very eager to know about the Vishnu Dutas who had defeated them in their encounter with Ajamil. Yamaraj therefore stated that the Vishnu Dutas resemble the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their bodily features, transcendental qualities, and nature. In other words, the Vishnu Dutas, or Vaishnavas, are almost as qualified as the Supreme Lord. Yamaraj informed the Yamadutas that the Vishnu Dutas are no less powerful than Lord Vishnu. Since Vishnu is above Yamaraj, the Vishnu Dutas are above the Yamadutas. Persons protected by the Vishnu Dutas, therefore, cannot be touched by the Yamadutas. Yamaraj has described the qualities of the Vishnu Dutas to convince his own servants not to be envious of them. Yamaraj warned the Yamadutas that the Vishnu Dutas are worshipped with respectful obeisances by the demigods and are always very alert to protect the devotees of the Lord from the hands of enemies, from natural disturbances, and from all dangerous conditions in this material world. Sometimes the members of the Krishna Consciousness Society are afraid of the impending danger of world war and ask what would happen to them if a war should occur. In all kinds of danger, they should be confident of their protection by the Vishnu Dutas or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Krishna himself confirms in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 31. Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati, which means, quote, O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes, unquote. Material danger is not meant for devotees. This is also confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Verse 58. Padam padam yad vipadam na te sham. This means that in the material world, there are dangers at every step, but they are not meant for devotees who have fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. The pure devotees of Lord Vishnu may rest assured that the Lord will protect them, and as long as they are in this material world, they should fully engage in devotional service by preaching the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna, namely chanting Hare Krishna and the other aspects of Krishna consciousness. When challenged by the Vishnu Dutas to describe the principles of religion, the Yamadutas had said, Veda Pranihito Dharma, which means, quote, the Vedic literature defines religious principles, unquote. They did not know, however, that the Vedic literature contains ritualistic ceremonies that are not transcendental, but are meant to keep peace and order among materialistic persons in the material world. Real religious principles are nistraigunya, above the three modes of material nature, or transcendental. The Yamadutas did not know these transcendental religious principles, and therefore, when prevented from arresting Ajamil, they were surprised. Materialistic persons who attach all their faith to the Vedic rituals are described in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 42, wherein Krishna says, Veda vada rata parta nanyad astiti vadana, which means, quote, the supposed followers of the Vedas say that there is nothing beyond the Vedic ceremonies, unquote. Indeed, there is a group of men in India who are very fond of the Vedic rituals, not understanding the meaning of these rituals, which are intended to elevate one gradually to the transcendental platform of knowing Krishna. Vedaischa sarver aham eva vedya. Those who do not know this principle, but who simply attach their faith to the Vedic rituals, are called Vedavada Ratha. Herein it is stated that the real religious principle is that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna states that principle in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 66. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja, which means, quote, give up all other duties and surrender unto me. Unquote. That is the real religious principle everyone should follow. Even though one follows the Vedic scriptures, one may not know this transcendental principle, for it is not known to everyone. To say nothing of human beings, even the demigods in the upper planetary systems are unaware of it. This transcendental religious principle must be understood from the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly, or from His special representative, as stated in these verses. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna refers to Bhagavad Dharma as the most confidential religious principle. Sarva guyatamam guyad guyataram. Krishna says to Arjuna, quote, "Because you are my very dear friend, I am explaining to you the most confidential religion." Unquote. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. One may ask, if this principle is very rarely understood, what is the use of it? In answer, Yamaraj states herein that this religious principle is understandable if one follows the parampara system of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, and the other standard authorities. There are four lines of disciplic succession. One from Lord Brahma, one from Lord Shiva, one from Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and one from the Kumaras. The disciplic succession from Lord Brahma is called the Brahma Sampradaya. The succession from Lord Shiva, or Shambhu, is called the Rudra Sampradaya. The one from the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, is called the Shri Sampradaya. And the one from the Kumaras is called the Kumara Sampradaya. One must take shelter of one of these four Sampradayas in order to understand the most confidential religious system. In the Padma Purana it is said, Sampradaya vihina ye mantras te nishpala mataha, which means, if one does not follow the four recognized disciplic successions, his mantra or initiation is useless. At present, there are many apasampradayas, or unbona fide sampradayas, which have no link to authorities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Kumaras, or Lakshmi. People are misguided by such sampradayas. The Shastras say that being initiated into such a sampradaya is a waste of time, for it will never enable one to understand real religious principles and surrender to Krishna. Real religious principles are Bhagavad Dharma, the principles described in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself or in the Bhagavad Gita, the preliminary study of the Bhagavatam. What are these principles? The Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 2 says, Dharma projita kaitavotra, which means, quote, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are no cheating religious systems. Unquote. In other words, everything in the Bhagavatam is directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 6, further says, Savaipum sam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaje, which means, quote, the supreme religion is that which teaches its followers how to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the reach of experimental knowledge. Unquote. Such a religious system begins with Tannama Grahana, chanting the holy name of the Lord. After chanting the holy name and dancing in ecstasy, one gradually sees the transcendental form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, and the pastimes of the Lord, In this way, one fully understands the situation of the personality of Godhead. One can come to this understanding of the Lord, however, only by executing devotional service. As Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 55, Bhaktya mam avajanati yavan yash chasmi tatvadaha, which means, quote, one can understand me as I am only by devotional service, unquote. If a person is fortunate enough to understand the Supreme Lord in this way, the result is that after giving up his material body, he no longer has to take birth in this material world. Tyakva deham puna janma naiti. Instead, he returns home, back to Godhead. That is the ultimate perfection. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 15, Mam upetya puna janma dukhalayam ashashvataham napnu vanti mahatmana samsidim paramam gata, which means, quote, after attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection, unquote. There is no need to conduct research into the significance of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. The history of Ajamil is sufficient proof of the power of the Lord's holy name and the exalted position of a person who chants the holy name incessantly. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalo nastyeva, 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 gatir anyata, which means, quote, in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Unquote. From the Brihan Naradiya Purana, Canto 3, Chapter 8, verse 126. In this age, almost no one can perform all the difficult ritualistic ceremonies for becoming liberated. Therefore, all the Shastras and all the Acharyas have recommended that in this age, one simply chant the holy name. That will bring one all perfection. In the assembly of Raghunath Das Goswami's father, Haridas Thakur confirmed that simply by chanting the Lord's holy name, a person is liberated, even if he does not chant completely inoffensively. Smarta Brahmins and Mayavadis do not believe that one can achieve liberation in this way, but the truth of Haridas Thakur's statement is supported by many quotations from the Vedic literature. In the passage of Srimad Bhagavatam under discussion, for example, Yamaraj says, it should be understood that one is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of the Lord and chanting his qualities and activities. This is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. In his commentary on this verse, Sridhar Swami gives the following quotation. Sayam pratar granan bhaktya dukha gramad vimuchyate, which means, quote, if one continually chants the holy name of the Lord with great devotion, morning and evening, one will become free from all material miseries. Unquote. Another quotation confirms that a person can achieve liberation if he hears the holy name of the Lord continually, every day, with great respect. Anudinam idam adarena shrinvan. Another quotation says, Shravanam kirtanam dhyanam harer adbhuta karmanha janma karma gunanam cha tad arte kila cheshtitam, which means, quote, one should always chant and hear about the wonderful activities of the Lord. One should meditate upon these activities, and one should endeavor to please the Lord. Unquote. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Verse 27. Sridhar Swami also gives the following quote from the Puranas. Papa kshayash cha bhavati smaratam tam ahar nisham, which means, quote, one can become free from all sinful reactions simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord day and night, unquote. Finally, he quotes from the chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam under discussion, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Verse 31. Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnur Jagan Mangalam Amhasam Mahatam Api Koravya Vidyai Kantika Nishkritam, which means, quote, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Unquote. All these quotations prove that one who constantly engages in chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, along with descriptions of his fame, form, and activities, is liberated. As stated wonderfully in verse 24, Eta vatalam aganir haranaya pumsam. Simply by uttering the name of the Lord, one is freed from all sinful reactions. The word alum in this verse indicates that simply uttering the holy name of the Lord is sufficient. There is no need of any other process. Even if a person chants imperfectly, he becomes free from all sinful reactions. The liberation of Ajamil proves this power of chanting the holy name. When Ajamil chanted the holy name of Narayan, he did not precisely remember the Supreme Lord. Instead, he remembered his own son. At the time of death, Ajamil certainly was not very clean. Indeed, he was famous as a great sinner. Furthermore, one's physiological condition is completely disturbed at the time of death, and in such an awkward condition, it would certainly have been very difficult for Ajamil to have chanted clearly. Nevertheless, Ajamil achieved liberation simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, what is to be said of those who are not sinful like Ajamil? It is to be concluded that with a strong vow, one should chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For thus, by the grace of Krishna, one will certainly be delivered from the clutches of Maya. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is recommended even for persons who commit offenses, because if they continue chanting, they will gradually chant offenselessly. Then by chanting Hare Krishna without offenses, one increases his love for Krishna. As stated by Lord Chaitanya, Prema Pum Arto Mahan, One's main concern should be to increase one's attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to increase one's love for Him. Since one may easily achieve the highest success by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one may ask why there are so many Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and why people are attracted to them. Yamaraj answers this question in the passage of Srimad Bhagavatam under discussion. Unfortunately, unintelligent people are bewildered by the grandeur of Vedic yajñas, and thus they want to see gorgeous sacrifices performed. They want Vedic mantras chanted and huge amounts of money spent for such ceremonies. Sometimes we have to observe the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies to please such unintelligent men. In 1975, when we established a large Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, we were obliged to have Vedic ceremonies performed by Brahmins because the inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially the Smarta Brahmins, would not accept Europeans and Americans as bona fide Brahmins. Thus, we had to engage Brahmins to perform costly yajñas. As these yajñas were being performed, the members of our society performed Sankirtan loudly with mridangas, and I considered the Sankirtan more important than the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. The ceremonies and the Sankirtan were going on simultaneously. The ceremonies were meant for persons interested in Vedic rituals for elevation to heavenly planets. Jadi Krita Matir Madhu Pushpitayam, whereas the Sankirtan was meant for pure devotees interested in pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We would simply have performed Sankirtan, but then the inhabitants of Vrindavan would not have taken the installation ceremony seriously. As explained here, the Vedic performances are meant for those whose intelligence has been dulled by the flowery words of the Vedas, which describe sacrifices intended to elevate one to the higher planets. Especially in this age, Sankirtan alone is sufficient. If the members of our temples in the different parts of the world simply continue Sankirtan before the deity, especially before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will remain perfect. There is no need of any other performances. Nevertheless, to keep oneself clean in habits and mind, deity worship and other regulative principles are required. Srila Jiva Goswami says that although Sankirtan is sufficient for the perfection of life, worship of the deity in the temple must continue so that the devotees may stay clean and pure. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur therefore recommended that one follow both processes simultaneously. We strictly follow his principle of performing deity worship and Sankirtan along parallel lines. This we should continue. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following verse from the prayers of Lord Brahma, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Verse 29. Atapi te deva padambuja dvaya, prasada le shanugrita evahi, janati tatvam bhagavan mahim no, Nachanya eko picharam vichinvan. The purport is that even though one is a very learned scholar of the Vedic Shastras, he may be completely unaware of the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his name, fame, qualities, and so forth, whereas one who is not a great scholar can understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he somehow or other becomes a pure devotee of the Lord by engaging in devotional service. Therefore, in verse 26, Yamaraj says, Evam vimrishya sudiyo bhagavati. Those who engage in the loving service of the Lord become sudiya, intelligent. But this is not so of a Vedic scholar who does not understand Krishna's name, fame, and qualities. A pure devotee is one whose intelligence is clear. He is truly thoughtful because he engages in the service of the Lord, not as a matter of show, but with love, with his mind, words, and body. Non-devotees may make a show of religion, but it is not very effective because although they ostentatiously attend a temple or church, they are thinking of something else. Such persons are neglecting their religious duty and are punishable by Yamaraj. But a devotee who commits sinful acts unwillingly or accidentally because of his former habits is excused. That is the value of the Sankirtan movement. In effect, Yamaraj warned his servants, My dear servants, henceforward you must stop disturbing the devotees. The devotees who have surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord and who constantly chant his holy name are praised by the demigods and the residents of Siddhaloka. Those devotees are so respectable and exalted that Lord Vishnu personally protects them with the club in his hand. If you approach such devotees, he will kill you with that club. What to speak of you, if even Lord Brahma or I were to punish them, Lord Vishnu would punish us. Therefore, do not disturb the devotees any further. After warning the Yamadutas in this way, Yamaraj then indicates who is to be brought before him. He specifically advises the Yamadutas to bring to him materialistic persons attached to household life merely for sex. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Verse 45, Yan maitunadi grahamedi sukham hi tucham. Which means, people are attached to household life only for sex pleasure, which is very insignificant. They are always harassed in many ways by their material engagements for making money to maintain their families, and their only happiness is that after working very hard all day, at night they sleep and indulge in sex. Yamaraj specifically advises his servants to bring these persons to him for punishment and not to bring the devotees who always lick the honey from the lotus feet of the Lord, who are equal to everyone and who try to preach Krishna consciousness out of sympathy for all living entities. Devotees are not liable to be punished by Yamaraj, but persons who have no information of Krishna consciousness cannot be protected by their material life of so-called family enjoyment. The Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Verse 4 says, Deha Patya Kalatra Dish Vatma Sanyesh Vasatsvapi Tesham Pramato Nidhanam Pashyanapi Na Pashyati, which means, materialistic persons complacently believe that their nations, communities, or families can protect them, unaware that all such fallible soldiers will be destroyed in due course of time. In conclusion, one should try to associate with persons who engage in devotional service 24 hours a day. Then one can come to know the purpose of human life, which is to please Lord Vishnu. Varnashram Dharma is also meant for that purpose. As stated in the Vishnu Purana, Canto 3, Chapter 8, Verse 9, Varnashrama Charavata Purushena para puman Vishnu aradyate panta nanyatatosha karanam, which means, human society is meant to follow strictly the Varnashram Dharma, which divides society into four social divisions: Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and four spiritual divisions: Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa. Varnashram Dharma easily brings one nearer to Lord Vishnu, who is the only true objective in human society. Nate vidhu svartha gatim hi Vishnum. Unfortunately, however, people do not know that their self-interest is to return home back to Godhead or to approach Lord Vishnu. Durashaya ye bahirartha manina. Instead, they are simply bewildered by Krishna's external illusory energy. Every human being is expected to perform duties meant for approaching Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Yamaraj advises the Yamadutas to bring him only those persons who have forgotten their duties toward Vishnu. One who does not chant the holy name of Vishnu or Krishna, who does not bow down to the deity of the Lord, and who does not remember his lotus feet, is punishable by Yamaraj. In summary, all Avaishnavas, persons unconcerned with Lord Vishnu, are punishable by Yamaraj.